From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. Sunday night, a 16-year-old on a bike near Rio Linda Boulevard was stopped by police for code violations. Then he took off on foot. Then there was a chase. And during the chase, the teenager was hit by a Sacramento police car. So he was taken to the hospital. He's okay, but the situation drew quite a crowd in North Sacramento, and there's continuing conversation about the circumstances. What is the impact on young people when an incident like that or something more intense, say gang violence or an officer-involved shooting, happens in the neighborhood and then becomes high profile? Cap Radio reporter Sammy Cayola has been focused on this question this summer. She's here to talk about the series that she produced and the body of work surrounding it. Hi, Sammy.
Hi, Beth. Thanks for having me.
I think this came out of the Stephon Clark shooting, which is worlds away from the incident that I just described on Sunday night. However, there is a common denominator.
Yeah, so we're really looking at neighborhoods where there's a lot of violence, you know, whether it's police or it's gang violence, their youth that live there, and they're seeing people around them get arrested, people around them get killed, and they're stressed. They're really on edge, and they're trying to figure out, well, what does this mean for me? I live here. What do I do? What is my future like? And what we're seeing is a lot of community groups coming together to try to, you know, sort of reshape the way that youth, especially youth of color, see themselves and see what they can do in the world.
It's difficult to gauge, I think, and gather data on the impact as we're describing it. But you have been tracking some of the changes, particularly in the African-American neighborhoods, since Stephon Clark's death in March. What are you learning? What's going on?
Yeah, so it's really interesting. Right after Stephon Clark died, you saw a lot of calls for police accountability, but you also saw this sort of parallel demand for more resources in these neighborhoods, for economic equity, for better opportunities, mostly for kids. You know, they really want to build safer, more optimistic places for children to grow up. And so I really wanted to see, well, what are they doing and how do they even do that? And so one of the first places that I went was at El Paso Heights Community Center, and I found some teens there who were working. They had just been placed in jobs. One of them, his name is LeJames Riggins. It's a little windy, but I asked him, what do you want to do? And he said he really wanted to be an engineer or a botanist. And I said, what would get in your way of that?
Getting shot. Just in my own neighborhood, that's pretty much it. I thought Oakland was worse than Sac. Now it's starting to feel like Sac is just a little bit, it's getting there on the worry list.
So he's saying he has plans for college, but he's also very aware that he might be one of the kids that's shot in the neighborhood. That's a very real fear for him.
Yeah, for a lot of them, it's, could I be next? Right? What if I get wrapped up with the wrong people? Or what if I don't and I'm just stopped on the street? And what if I do the wrong thing when the police officer talks to me?
So right? That's motivating him to want to stay out of trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's in a job this summer, and he feels like if I can just stay on track, that'll be okay. And so he's one of about 500 kids that are part of this 1,000 Strong program. It's something
the mayor's program.
The mayor put into place. And, you know, they're growing the program, and they're trying to get city departments and restaurants and tech companies to really sign on to take in youth from these neighborhoods and to give them a chance.
In your reporting, you do make the connection, and would you explain it here, between a job opportunity and combating violence?
Right. You wouldn't necessarily think, oh, yeah, we're going to stop gang violence with a job, but...
Or that maybe it's a possibility, but is there a more direct correlation?
Yeah, I think it's really that, you know, youth need to feel like they have a purpose, right? They have a mission. They need to feel confident and that they're going somewhere, that they can do what they want to do beyond their streets, beyond their neighborhood. And I think youth can start to feel a little bit trapped. I heard a lot of kids express they just felt like they either were going to die or they were going to be in trouble or there wasn't anything for them to do. So they were just going to stay there and just hang out at night. And so I think this idea of getting them into employment, it just exposes them to an idea. Like I talked to a kid who is working for the city this summer, and he's doing maintenance facility he's fixing things in city buildings. He's doing, you know, technical work. And he never had been exposed to that before. He didn't know anybody who did that, but he's good at it, right? And now he's saying that's what he wants to do. So, yeah, I think the thought is that you just keep kids on a track toward college or toward a career, that it'll keep them safer somehow.
And changing the possibilities that they can conceive of or step into is an avenue to really change things. I know that's a variation of what we hear Mayor Steinberg talking about.
Yeah. So Mayor Steinberg has been really big on this. He's been working with Build Black, which is that group we saw come out of Stephon Clark, and also with the Black Child Legacy Campaign. That's sort of a neighborhood coalition working with the Sierra Health Foundation. And even the Sacramento Kings have gotten involved here. So here is what Mayor Steinberg wants to see sort of in the long term.
A large part of the employment sector, no doubt, is going to be downtown, but we actually want to build employment bases in these neighborhoods. In other words, it shouldn't just be about transporting kids out of their neighborhoods for good experiences and then bring them back to their neighborhoods that remain the way they are. It's actually about improving the neighborhoods as well.
That's an interesting description, because I know field trips out of the neighborhood to different places were quite common decades ago, and that was exposure to different possibilities. But I see how making that lifestyle homegrown as an opportunity can really make a change. So take me to parents and mentors in the community and their involvement. Do they think this is going to work?
Yeah, they're hoping so. I mean, there's a lot of excitement around this. There's a lot of positivity. They're trying to really raise these kids, to feel okay about this, to not always be thinking, oh my God, there's going to be another thing that's happening. What am I going to do? They're happy to have the support of the city and the county and the Kings, and to have real motion going on, again, so that these kids don't feel so trapped. And it's not just teenagers. You know, a lot of children, you would be surprised, they understand what happened to Stephon Clark. They watch the news. They've seen videos. And not just Stephon Clark, but police shootings in other states all over America, you know. And they see that, and it affects them, and it's its own kind of trauma. I actually went to an elementary school in Meadowview, where they were reading a children's book about police shooting an unarmed Black man, an illustrated children's book called Something Happened in Our Town. And it was all in, you know, child-friendly language, but it talked about race. It talked about police injustice. It went all the way back to slavery, you know. So, and these kids were 7, 8, 9 years old. That was, you know, really eye-opening that, you know, children are aware of this, and it affects the way that they grow up. So I talked to a dad. His name is Latrell Led, and he has a 9-year-old, and he's really excited to be a dad. But, you know, he has to talk to his son about this kind of thing, and he's really transparent about it. And I said, you know, how do you counter all of that stress, all of what's going on around you? And he says, I just try to keep Latrell Jr., I just try to keep him confident and motivated. And I want him to see other people thriving around him. And here's how he talks about it.
Everything is not geared toward the negative. You know, there's something out there that can bring out the positive. And we have to love our brown babies. We have to love African-American children. And, you know, especially those kids that don't have nothing, you know, that the parents are just kind of like, they're on the back burner all the time.
You're listening to CAP Radio reporter Sammy Kaola. We are talking about the issues in her 3-part series, which has been airing this summer. You can find all of the reports at capradio.org. The investigation into the Stephon Clark shooting at both the local and state levels is ongoing. The case has not yet been handed to the DA's office. So what comes next in this arena that you've been focused on?
Yeah. So, you know, Black Lives Matter Sacramento is still protesting. You know, you're going to see a lot of discussion around the Stephon Clark case on sort of the law enforcement level. And at the same time, I think we are going to keep seeing these events around boosting up Black youth. You know, they're sort of trying to build some safe spaces, some, you know, not distractions, but some sort of counter, you know, to say, look, you're going to be seeing protests on the street. There's going to be a lot of anger, a lot of frustration. But let's also talk about you and your goals and what we can do. And so, you know, I went to an event with the Sacramento Kings a few weeks ago where they sort of had this forum with youth about what they want to do with their lives. They started a Kings and Queens basketball league. And, you know, the city is also doing these grants. It's about $900,000 in funding. And they've picked 14 groups that are entrepreneurial in nature, you know, that are, some of them are maker spaces and some of them are arts organizations that are going to be in these neighborhoods, and they're going to be
all involving kids.
Yeah.
And youth activities.
Right. So these groups that are getting the grants, they basically vowed to be inclusive with their employment. So that's going to be interesting, you know, to have these little incubators in these neighborhoods. And I mean, that's really a concrete way to expose teens to what they can do.
And the mayor's program, as you said, is titled 1,000 Strong. They're at 500. So there's capacity there for the program to double in size.
Yeah, that's the goal. That's the goal. And, you know, a lot of that might depend on Measure U, which is coming up. I know Mayor Steinberg has a lot of big goals, not just for teens, but as I said, for children, you know, for improving schools, for just improving these neighborhoods that have for a long time felt neglected.
So can I wrap this up by asking you what was eye-opening to you? You went in with a question. You talked to a lot of people, talked to a lot of kids, and observed what's been happening. Were there surprises for you?
I think I really was surprised by how deeply this affects children and teens. You know, I knew that it was happening in their world. I thought it was sort of over their head somewhere, something their parents were dealing with. But it's really them. You know, some of their friends are getting shot. Some of their friends are going to jail. And it really, you know, it can make them feel stifled and can make them feel like no one cares about me. And, you know, it's sort of heartbreaking to talk to kids who are 15, 16, 17 who feel that way and who just haven't been given the opportunities that they need to thrive. And so, you know, you'll see if you go on capradio.org, you'll find my piece. And we have this poem. It's called A Poetic Service Announcement. And that's from the Black Child Legacy Campaign. They basically asked teens to talk, and they filmed them. And it's really awakening.
There's one by Simone Hall, and I wrote down some of her language. She says, "There is no therapy for this hood. This is the war that America refuses to acknowledge." And it's worth watching these PSAs, but it's also worth understanding how eloquent and wise these very young people are about what's happening around them. They have a language for it. They have an explanation for it. And in every one of the messages, they are asking for attention and for help.
Yeah, they are. So, you know, I know there's a lot of work on the ground to give it to them, and I'm excited to see where that goes.
Sammy, thank you so much. I think it's been a terrific series, and I'm really glad that you took time to share it with us on Insight.
Thanks for having me, Beth.
That is Cap Radio reporter Sammy Kayola. You can find links to her series of reports at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio.